Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hey everyone, welcome to the second installment of the Pacers Player Season Preview Series. Today we are going to talk about Bojan Bogdanović. I had Lindy Wood from Bullets Forever on to talk about Bojan. Me and her both watched him a lot with the Wizards. And Bojan is my favorite player on the team heading into the season due to his Croatian ties. And I was really excited to talk about him, and I think you're going to really like this episode. I have to apologize. I just moved this weekend and my mic is misplaced for the moment. So I recorded through my laptop and the sound quality in the first minute is not as good as it usually is. And I will own up to that. I apologize. Our sponsor, as always, is SeatGeek. Use the code LONBA at checkout to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode talking about the new starting small forward, Bojan Bogdanović.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast. This week we are going to be talking about another player preview episode. We're going to do Bojan Bogdanović, the new small forward, coming in to replace Paul George in the starting lineup. Quite the replacement, if you ask me. Bojan was drafted in 2011, but he didn't sign with the Nets until 3 years later in 2014. And joining me to talk to him is my colleague at Bullets Forever, the associate editor of the site, Lindy Noel. Lindy, how you doing?
Last name is actually...
Oh, no, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Lindy, no worries. That's my middle name and email address.
I've been fooled. How you doing?
I am doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Bojan is my favorite player on the team, so I picked him in the first pick of our player preview series draft. I'm really excited to talk about him. You watched him a lot with the Wizards last year, as did I, and I think it's important to make a distinction when talking about past Bojan that there's Nets Bojan and Wizards Bojan, which are very different players. I really liked Wizards Bojan. I think he was a good player, especially for what the team needed, but Nets Bojan kind of was more impactful. What do you think about Bojan's past so far?
So that's actually really interesting to hear you say that. Sorry, is that some kind of weird feedback?
No, fine.
Sorry, I guess it's just my microphone that was being weird. So I actually, when you asked me if I wanted to do this, I did go back and I spent some time looking at Nets Bojan because I didn't remember that Bojan that well. And I don't know that I feel like they're that different. And one thing that that really stood out, I mean, there are a few things that I think that he did do a lot better with the Wizards. I think his shot selection, which actually has always been pretty good, was even better with the Wizards. Like, this dude does not take mid-range jumpers, just ever. And when he was with the Wizards, his assist percentage went way down, which is probably a good thing. That's probably not his ideal role. But one thing that sort of struck me looking at him is I feel like he's kind of always been the same dude throughout his career, which... You know, maybe I'm interested to hear what you have to say if you think it's different.
Yeah, when he was with the Nets, his role to me was more about creation off the dribble and scoring. I mean, he started alongside Joe Johnson a little bit, and then when Joe Johnson left, he started alongside whoever the heck the Nets had. I can never remember what crummy 10-day guys they had, but his usage was always going up. But with the Nets, they were kind of letting him do his thing, and he can only really create with his right-handed dribble. His left hand is atrocious, but, I mean, he can kind of get in the lane and get guys the ball, and he could knock it down from three, as we saw in Washington, versus with the Wizards, he didn't start at all, and he was that first guy off the bench who was just a consistent shooter, could create a little bit, but not as much because of the players around him, and when he got fouled, that's when he was so great with the Wizards, to me, at the free throw line, which is a big jump over any of his net seasons.
Yeah, no, absolutely, but if you hear something crazy, player with the third highest usage on the Wizards last year, Bojan Bogdanović.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. I saw that. Yeah. Well, and, at first it really surprised me, but the more I thought about it, the more it kind of makes sense. So I'm sure we'll get into this more when we talk about his strengths and weaknesses, but he's a great, great shooter. not sure he's so great at other things. So, you know, if he's on the floor, he probably should be using a whole lot of possessions, getting the ball up. So,
yeah, that'll come into play when we talk about his role with the Pacers. A little more background. We only kind of talked about where he was drafted and such. His career averages are of important stats are 11.3 points and 3.1 rebounds. Only one assist. I said he created, but when you're on the Nets, no matter who you're giving the ball to, there's a good chance they're not going to score in the past. We just did Thaddeus Young, and we kind of ran into the same problem of his net seasons didn't really count when projecting his stats going forward. But another good thing with Bojan, like we said earlier, is his usage has always gone up, while his turnover percentage always has stayed relatively the same. So he's, you know, gotten better with the ball as he's gotten more time in the league, while his assist percentage has also gone up. So when he touches the ball, he has distributed more to his teammates recently. And I like to think that on the Pacers now, you'll kind of have this new role where he's starting and kind of spacing the floor. What do you think about that? Do you think that's where he should be, or do you like him better off the bench? Or, you know, how do you think his stats reflect what he will do?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could work either way, either coming off the bench or starting. I think that he's great next to Lance Stephenson. I really like them together. You know, I think that they help each other's strengths and weaknesses a little bit. I do also expect him to primarily act as a floor spacer. And, you know, he is good at that. I mean, he's a good shooter. And one thing that really struck me when I was watching some film of him is that he has a really, really high shot release, and he is just totally fearless. He does not care about, you know, what sort of, like, huge player is flying at him. He will let that go.
He does seem taller than 6'8 with that high release, I feel like, a lot of the time. They would let him bang in the post a little at the four in Washington, and he always – you know, kind of hold his own and get the ball up high up there. And another thing I like about his floor spacing is with the Pacers in particular, they're kind of in a transition era to a rebuilding stage. And with that floor spacing, you're going to, you know, just basically have more room for their young guys to operate and do what they want to do. And while I know it's not ideal to just sign a guy to plug him in to just stand in the corner and space the floor, I mean, it's totally worth it with Bojan, because if you leave him, he's going to hit the three. What was he last year, like 40% from deep almost? Yeah, 39 with the Wizards.
Yeah. He's kind of always been in the upper 30s. And, yeah, well, it's one of those things where, like, you know, maybe it's a bad thing to sign him just to space the floor. But, you know, we always talk about shooting as the sort of ever-important skill, and you can't have enough shooters. And so there you go. You got yourself a really good shooter.
Right, and the Pacers don't really have any other good shooters. I mean, they signed a bunch this offseason, but their best shooter might have been Glenn Robinson III. And if you're not a big Pacers fan, you don't really think of Glenn Robinson as a shooter that much. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good that they brought him in to kind of fill that role. Do you think there's anything else he can bring to the team in terms of role and, you know, contributions?
Not really. I mean, you know, we did talk a little bit about how the Wizards especially, he got a lot better, or he drew a lot more fouls. But you know, I don't know how realistic that'll be, in Indiana, just cause I don't know how much space there's going to be around the rim maybe. But you know, I think that I don't see any hidden talents coming out that we haven't seen before, but you know, I could be wrong. I could get surprised.
Well, I agree. I think his usage might actually go down a little, because if he does start, he'll be a fourth or fifth option. And you know, mm-hmm. those guys don't tend to get the ball as much, especially on a team where you're just trying to salvage Thaddeus Young's value as well as get Oladipo and Miles Turner as many touches as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his role is this year. Of course, I'd like to start him for his offense, but we have not really touched the other end of the floor yet, and there's kind of a reason for that, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, so before we do that, I will just say I was also kind of looking at some of his historical comps before we did this, and you do see, you know, a lot of the, like, Kyle Korver in 2010, Marco Bellinelli in 2015, and you could argue that those are somewhat one-dimensional players, but nonetheless very important in what they did. So I will leave that at that for his offense. Has never been that good, and it's a little bit hard to judge him because he's also never been on a good defensive squad. And, you know, you can have players that are not necessarily skilled defenders, but that, you know, within the team concept function really well. You can also have players that are kind of individually good defenders in bad team defenses. So it's, I don't want to hold it against him too much, but he doesn't look great out there either. you know, I have a lot of very strong memories from the Wizards-Celtics series, its last playoffs, and I just remember every time he was on the floor, whatever guard was handling the ball for the Celtics, they would find a way to get him, and they would attack him directly. And so, you know, not a strong point.
Yeah, a career high box plus minus on defense of -1.9. Not super good. I've seen him ranked in the bottom five in defensive metrics in the entire NBA. Yeah. It's it's not encouraging. Me and Adam, the co-host, I don't know if you know much about him on the show. We always say just doesn't matter who the worst offensive player on their team is, put Bojan on him, everything else, just figure it out because he's not really going to stop anybody. Another thing I don't really care for, I kind of referenced this earlier, but when he dribbles, it's only with his right hand. I don't think I've ever seen him do a left-hand dribble. Do you?
I know. Well, and it's funny. The funny thing about it is because he's actually not too bad with his right hand. So, you know, I remember I was like watching, you know, just watching some highlights of him and I'm thinking like, actually, like his dribble drive game isn't too bad. And then I realized that every single time was with his right hand.
Exactly. And yeah, they're going to start him on every possession, either on the left wing or in the left corner or something like that. And it just kind of makes things too predictable, which isn't terrible. It's working like with the Warriors, but it's the Pacers. And you know, you can't imagine it's going to work as often as it is for other good teams with him. You know, I mean, he can come in from the left and give you something, but I mean, it just limits everything else you can do when you're forcing, you know, all your spacing to be on one side of the floor. And that's not something I'm really, you know, encouraged about heading into this next year. And the second thing is in Washington, when he finally had better teammates, his assist percentage went way down. And I would like to attribute that to him mostly playing off the bench with less competent offensive players, but I don't really know. It was kind of weird that it went down by almost half.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I actually kind of attribute that to role more than anything, maybe. I mean, he really wasn't asked to do a whole lot of creation in Washington. And as you said, he was often playing with those guys who were not going to always finish those shots. So yeah, that was strange because he went from what was dramatically a career high that first half of the season with Brooklyn to something much lower in Washington. So that maybe is concerning, but I wouldn't wring my hands over that too much yet anyway.
And maybe you could think that career high kind of made his creation look better and is one of the reasons the Wizards wanted to trade for him, because those of you who are Pacers fans and don't really follow the Wizards, their bench was even worse than the Pacers last year. It was atrocious. And for as bad as the Pacers, you know, bottom 10 bench was, the Wizards might have been the worst in the league. So they really needed Bojan to come in and kind of create and score. And he really could score, but his creation was left a lot to be desired, that's for sure.
Yeah, it did, but I mean, I also get the impression with the other players that the Pacers have signed this offseason that he's, you know, they have a lot of ball-dominant guys on the team now. You know, Lance likes to hold the ball, Victor likes to hold the ball and probably should hold the ball, Darren Collison. So, you know, Miles Turner is a player who really they should be incorporating as much as possible, so you know, maybe that's not so bad. Maybe it's okay for Bojan just to shoot.
Yeah, that would be what I hope. His role is just stick him in the corner, give him some flare screens, and, you know, hope he shoots 40%, because outside of that, I don't really know what he's going to do a ton of. But alas, he's still my favorite player on the team. I have fond memories of right after the Wizards traded for him, and he made, like, 25 free throws in a row. Was it something crazy?
Yeah, well, you know, he's that kind of guy where I feel like he's sort of, like, best case scenario in the NBA is maybe that like sixth or seventh man who like maybe you don't play him so much in the playoffs, but he's the one that like saves you night after night in February when like the opposing team's defense is exhausted and he just hits 10 threes.
Yeah, and that kind of makes me think he'd be better off the bench in that regard too, just because, you know, he's kind of a jolt guy and can, you know, he could score over someone who's worse, which is a substitute. So, you know, maybe he will come off the bench by the end of the year. I don't think you pay a guy $10 million to have him come off the bench, especially when you kind of need a spacing. But I'm hoping that by the end of the season, maybe that switches. And, you know, you don't really know as much about Glenn Robinson, I would assume, that as Pacers fans. But everyone loves him here. Apparently, they think he's going to become this 15-point-a-game player this year. I am skeptical. But I think he will take steps forward playing more. He was pretty good when he started last year in a few games for Monte Ellis. So I'm excited to see how he does. You kind of referenced this earlier that you thought his skills and Lance Stevenson's skills would go well together. Do you think that is the player on the team who complements his skills the best?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not as familiar with Indiana's roster as you are, but, you know, I think that Lance is someone who can be a little more of that setup man. Bojan can give Lance space. And then also, you know, Lance can guard the perimeter threat that maybe you don't want to put Bogdanović on. So I like the two of them together a lot. But, I mean, the thing about Bogdanović is that as long as there's somewhere you can hide him defensively, you can play him with anybody, right? It's never a problem to have a shooter on the floor. So as long as there's somewhere you can hide him on defense, I think that he can fit into a lot of different lineups.
You stole my thunder. I was kind of going to segue into that. He can kind of play with everybody. So now I kind of have to stumble here for a transition. But I was kind of thinking, you know, I could always see him with Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph's like the fast point guard. Where Collison, I mean, I don't want to call Darren Collison a caretaker, but he's more of a caretaker. And, you know, with Joseph's speed, you would like that that space that Boyan will create would really give Joseph room to operate, whether he's in at the two or the one. And yep. Joseph's the better defender of the two. So I just think that that match will kind of work well together. And I think if you do have your first three subs of Joseph, Stevenson, and Boyan, you know, that could work really nicely off the bench for a nice spark because, you know, when those starters are out, that this team's going to struggle. So you got to really hope that, you know, they can find some cohesive group with whoever comes in off the bench. And that's kind of who I think the best three will be.
Yeah, no, I think that's really true. And I mean, the other thing about Joseph is like Boyan, he runs really hard in transition. He's not the fastest guy ever, but like the effort is 100% there. And so, you know, I think that that might be a nice way for the Pacers to manufacture some points is with Corey Joseph running in transition and Boyan, you know, taking advantage of that as the trailer.
Yeah, did you watch a lot of Eurobasket with Boyan or not as much?
I had barely any.
So he was doing really good there, and Croatia was running a lot of their offense through him, which was so interesting to see because he was, like, so far behind in the options list in Washington. I mean, they didn't need him to be anything more than what he was, but it was still so interesting to see, like, almost every possession they would come down and throw at him on the wing and have him try to create something, and they did pretty well with it. I was surprised.
That is really interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like with him, he's – oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like, you know, at least, you know, in an NBA, based on what he's done so far, you kind of know who he is and what you get with him. And so, you know, obviously if he can – he has improved at least a little bit every year, and hopefully he will continue to do so. But – feels like a very, like, low-risk, low-reward move to me. He has some very good NBA skills, and he's, you know, not great at everything, but there's nothing that he's so bad at that he's, you know, always unplayable. And so it makes sense for a team in as much sort of flux as Indiana is right now to want a player like him that I think is pretty reliable.
And replaceable.
And replaceable.
Yeah. If you want to see Boyan live, you can buy tickets on SeatGeek to go watch him.
We're going to take a quick break from talking about Boyan Bogdanovic to tell you, the listener, about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site around. SeatGeek will take every ticket on the resale market and put it all in one place for you to see. From every other ticket aggregating site that there is, it's all in one place. And it's really great because it tells you the value of your ticket. If you're getting a good deal, there'll be a big green dot. If you're getting a bad deal, there'll be a tiny little red dot. It's so obvious. Anyone can do it. Anyone can get a good deal on SeatGeek. I used it. It's great. It's really helpful and saved me money because I used the code LONBA at checkout and got $20 refund off my first purchase. And you can do the same thing too. So if you use SeatGeek on your tablet or your smartphone or your laptop or whatever, use the code LONBA at checkout and you'll get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek. I would highly recommend you use SeatGeek. And now we're going to talk more about Boyan Bogdanovic.
Okay, and we're back to talk more about Boyan Bogdanovic. I think it's also interesting to think with the Pacers that since they'll be kind of trying to accumulate assets, if they sign him to a one-year deal and he could be on the trade market again in February if the Wizards are wanting to trade away their first-round pick.
You know, it was really funny. I mean, I'm sorry if this is boring to Pacers fans. When the Wizards first traded for him, I was convinced that it meant that they had decided they were okay with paying the luxury tax and they were going to pay to keep him. And oh boy, was I wrong.
Me too.
Turns out that was really just about getting rid of Andrew Nicholson's contract and not actually keeping Boyan for the long term. But yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll part with another first-round pick for him again.
Yeah, I think his value more is a second-rounder, and truth be told, especially now as he approaches, you know, 28 years old, and he won't look as good on the Pacers as he will on the Wizards. I mean, the Wizards got what they wanted out of him, but I was with you. The fact that they traded away a first-round pick made me think they were going to you know, sign him long-term because you don't really trade away a first-round pick for half a year of a guy, but that's for a different podcast. But I think I think if the season falls in the drain, you know, come February, they might look to dish him for, you know, an early second or something. He definitely is value to a contributor. We saw that with the Wizards last year when he really was really far and away their best offensive player off the bench. So I'm kind of hoping that that is something that could happen, but I just don't know that many teams that are going to be willing to do that.
Well, you know what I think could happen? I mean, if a contender loses someone who's a floor spacer for them, I mean, Boyan, you know, no long-term money committed might be the perfect guy to sort of fill in. So if you're Cleveland, whatever, or whatever, and you lose, you know, J.R. Smith or something, not that Cleveland can do anything because they're so high over the tax, but I think that he would be a good candidate for those kinds of trades, a sort of emergency. We need someone to plug in and fill this role because shooting is really important. I mean, it is a legitimately really important role in the NBA. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, maybe you'll get your second rounder.
with a lot of the Pacers offseason signings, when they signed these guys to one-year deals, you know, him and Collison, I was like, oh, maybe, you know, these guys can be trade fillers. And Bojan was signed right around Rudy Gay's time, and I thought, wow, the Spurs could really use him if, you know, Kawhi goes down or something. But now they have Rudy Gay. That's not going to happen. So I don't really know what the suitor is yet. You're probably right. It probably will be an injury team that's kind of in the thick of it, or maybe like Milwaukee or something like that.
Right, yeah. But, if Kawhi has trouble coming back, then Yeah,
you know, they really have no sparks off the bench. I mean, as much as anyone can love Dellavedova, he's not that kind of guy. So, you know, maybe he will be traded come that time. They have a lot of these guys in this situation where they have a small partial guarantee next year. So their contract is effectively $1 million and a little higher than what their guaranteed total for this year is. And in the new CBA, the non-guaranteed total is what counts in trades. So they cannot trade him next year because it only counts for $1.5 million of salary. So don't look at his 2 years and think they can trade him next year, Pacers fans. It has to be this year. And it's going to be tough. They would have to be either really bad or a really significant injury would have to happen. But that's kind of what I hope happens personally, just because all these one-year guys don't have any future impact on the team. I think the team kind of thinks they can contend even though they can't. So we'll have to see how that goes as the season goes on. But I don't want to talk too much about trades. We did a lot of trade talk on the Thaddeus Young one because I think he's a much more realistic trade candidate. But I think personally Bojan this year is going to play about 24, 25 minutes a game, exactly the same amount as Ben Robinson, who's going to come in off the bench and play for him. Do you have any input on that, or are you not as plugged in with the team to make that official prediction?
I'm not as plugged in with the team. I'm not going to make that official prediction. I will say I was surprised that he didn't play that much less with the Wizards than he did with the Nets. It was like a couple minutes a game less.
Well, the Nets just wanted to lose, right?
I guess so. But it really, like, I mean, I was just shocked looking at his stats, how he really has just been the same dude all the way through, and that's not a bad thing.
He played almost half the game for the Wizards, which I thought was pretty interesting considering their 3 and 4 were pretty good players, but they needed him. But, yeah, I think he'll probably play between 24 and 30 minutes every night. He has never really had a significant injury, so you can kind of expect him to be in that 1,500, 2,000 minutes range this year, which is kind of exactly what the Pacers need. You know, that, again, like I said, he's replaceable, so if all else fails, you can just re-sign someone similar next year. He's not like a world beater, but it's not a bad contract. And I think, like we've talked about already, he'll fit well with, you know, Corey Joseph and Lance, and they'll give Oladipo and Turner the space to do what they want. So that could be your whole lineup if you want it to be. And maybe him and Thaddeus Young can get some, you know, kind of banging in the post, hit some threes on offense if he can take a step forward on post defense. But I don't really think he will because he has never been good on defense. Do you have any stats that you think he will take a step forward in significantly? Or do you think he'll kind of be around the same player again?
I do think he'll kind of be around the same player. I mean, I would say, you know, his shooting has improved a little bit every year, except that Pacers aren't that good, so maybe that'll kind of come back and hurt his shooting numbers a little bit. But, you know, he's had a sort of steady, slow upward trajectory in his offensive stats, so it wouldn't surprise me. But either way, I mean, he's a great free throw shooter. He's a great 3-point shooter. Assist numbers will probably depend on role as much as anything else, and my guess is that will really not be his role in Indiana. One weird stat about him is, like, per game, he's averaged 0.4 steals every year in his career. See if he averages 0.4 steals again this year.
Oh, wow. I kind of hope that happens now. I don't think any of those are actual steals. I think all those are byproduct of chance of him standing in the right spot.
Probably.
That's what we were talking about on the Thaddeus Young pod, how Thaddeus Young is really good at, you know, those things like being in the lane and deflecting passes and things that don't really go on counting stats but are just good defensive plays. I would say Bojan is basically the opposite. I don't think he ever really helps in the lane, and I don't think he ever really deflects a pass. I mean, you talked about how, you know, he sprints down the court on fast breaks, but he's not quick enough to really get in any passing lanes or anything like that.
I don't know if you want him to try that. I mean, I think that one thing that kind of stands out to me about him is he seems to know what he's good at, and he does those things. And, you know, if he tries to get into a passing lane, then he's just out of position and he's not going to recover. So,
yeah, this is his first training camp without the Nets. So, to me, there's reason to believe that that some change happens to him. His free throws per game doubled last season over his any other season of his career, and because he's so good at those, I'd like to think he could get close to that 3-per-game number he was at last year, which would be nice for the Pacers just because that's basically 3 free points given how good he is.
Yeah.
The free throw line. I don't really think there's anything else that I saw that jumped out of the off the page that will really improve. You know, I mean, I'd like to see his points get up to like 15, but I don't think his usage will go up enough to give him enough shots to get there. You know, maybe 8 or 9 shots a game is what he's going to end up with. And he's got to make, you know, 3 threes and 2 twos to get to 13. And that's already shooting over 50%, which he's never done. So I'm not really sure if anything will jump up either. Defensively, I would like to think that his steals would go up just by playing on a Pacers team with no other good defenders. I think this Pacers team is going to give up almost 120 points every game. So they're going to be on that end of the floor quite a bit. And I would like to hope that he can steal the ball, because another problem the Pacers have, Miles Turner is probably their best rebounder, and his rebound rate was under 20% last year. And some of that's the Paul George effect, and some of that is just that he's not that good of a rebounder. And for a team like the Pacers that's going to be so bad on defense, the only way to get off of defense is to get rebounds. And I think someone's going to have to get them, right? So I hope it'd be Bojan a little bit.
Is it going to be Bojan? I don't know about that. I mean, he is big. So, I mean, if he's, you know, kind of playing the three and you're playing a team that's playing, like, a smaller, more guard-like wing in that position, maybe – you know, but I don't know who's going to box out for him, so I'm not sure.
He averaged over 5 a game in Eurobasket, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe I'm totally wrong. We'll see.
No,
I should go watch somebody in Eurobasket, but...
It was really exciting.
My guess is that he's not going to save your rebounding.
I agree. I don't think anyone can save this team's rebounding, especially when your backup center is Al Jefferson.
Hey, you want Jan Mahimi back?
No, I actually don't. Unless you're willing to give us Kelly Oubre and a first-round pick. I am not interested in that.
Damn.
we can kind of transition into that. I want to take my final stab at his stat line before we kind of talk a little Wizards at the end here. I'm going to go with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and I don't know if defensive stats are enough of a byproduct of his ability to guess, but I think that's about where he'll be. You know, maybe 37% from 3, maybe that's a bit optimistic, but he's been hovering around there the last 2 seasons, and he was over it with the Wizards, which – Lindy and I got to watch a lot of, which was great. I don't know if he'll have any other stats that are noteworthy. Hopefully he can keep that free throw percentage above 90. Do you think that's going to be about right, or am I going to be very sad?
No, actually, I think that is probably pretty much on target. You know, a lot will sort of depend on what his role does end up being, how big Glenn Robinson does end up being, how much, you know, other guys actually get in the ball, which hopefully they will. But yeah, I think that sounds very reasonable.
That's terrific. I wanted to close with Lindy talking about the Pacers and Wizards ties that they have. Lindy, we loved Jan Mahimi in Indiana. He was awesome. He was the best defensive player on the team.
I wouldn't say I was excited when the Wizards signed him, because it was like an hour after they missed on Al Horford, and I love Al Horford. But like, I could really see the fit and how, you know, he could sort of help the team a little bit. And yeah, it was a rough year, man. I mean, I'm sure, you know, everyone listening knows this, but he was injured for most of the year. I think he played, what, how many games total?
30-something, not even. Yeah.
And not particularly well, because it wasn't even 30 consecutive games. It was like he got hurt and came back and then, you know, got hurt again. And but on the bright side, I guess, if he just plays this year, he'll contribute a lot more than he did last year. So there's that, but he has not been the Jan Mahimi that the Pacers had the last year he was with them. And maybe that was
probably the top 5 defensive center that year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he was also, I mean, his offensive numbers were not that different from Marcin Gortat's that 1 year, not over their careers, but over that 1 year. And so, there's some hope that some of that could come back, but I think that when you have that one good year like that, especially for a player in their late 20s, it's, you know, it's probably never going to happen again, so...
Yeah, I was on Hardwood Knox the other day talking about the Wizards, and I was kind of hopeful that Mahimi could, you know, get closer to his Pacer days, and as Gortat declines, just him playing in more games will kind of give him an even level of center production from last year. I still believe he could be the Mahimi he was with the Pacers. I mean, knee injuries obviously make it really hard to, you know, keep up with how good you used to be, especially when you're over 30, but, you know, there was a chance he was awesome. I mean, somehow the Pacers made it to the conference finals twice. He wasn't as good as years, but he was still a great defender.
Yep. And I think that his defense never quite came back last year just because he didn't really get in rhythm. But I do think that for the Wizards next year, again, assuming he stays healthy, I think that he will help save their defense that will probably be pretty bad again.
I agree. And another former Pacer that even I, the Pacers and Wizards aficionado, don't know much about is Donald Sloan. The Wizards just brought him into the training camp deal. Do you even think he's going to make the team, or just will he get cut?
I think he'll probably get cut. You know, so he played in China last year. He's never been more than a little bit of like a fringy NBA player. That said, the one thing that I think maybe the Wizards would keep him for is that he's a little more versatile than Sheldon Mack. So right now, you know, basically any situation where Donald Sloan is playing a lot of minutes for the Wizards, like something has gone very wrong. But he is a little more of a combo guard, whereas Sheldon Mack's a little more of a pure shooting guard. And so that might be one reason they would keep him. But yeah, you know, it was funny. Like when they first signed him, I remember thinking, like, I feel like a few years ago I wanted the Wizards to sign him. And I don't remember why.
What is up with this trend of Nets, Wizards, and Pacers having this nebulum of players who play for all three of those teams?
Yeah. Is there an agent we can trace it back to? I don't know.
I should look into that. That's interesting. Yeah. Sloan also played for the Nets before China. He was okay there, but again, yeah, it's impossible to read into those Nets seasons and everything crazy was happening. But I kind of think he might make the Wizards team. Just because he's a one-year minimum deal, which means they only have to pay him $1.4 million. The rest is covered by the league. So they're only paying about $100,000 more than McClellan, and I think he offers more in that he could be better than Satoransky, or he could be better than Tim Frazier. I don't think he is, but he could be. You might as well take that flyer and kind of hope you have a rotation player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it wouldn't shock me to find him on the roster, and, you know, hopefully we get the best version of Donald Sloan. Like I said, there was a few years ago, like, where I remember him getting signed by – yeah, I don't know if it was the Nets or the Pacers that year. This is like around 2014 or so. And I remember being like, oh, I wanted the Wizards to get him as their like third string point guard. So I was impressed.
Was that when the Wizards were winning 20 games a season?
Not quite that. No, that was one of the like earlier playoff years.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you know, like a respectable 20 games a season.
His career high is 7.4 points in over 20 minutes a game, so. Yeah. Who knows how much contribution he'll have. His time with the Pacers, that was with the Pacers, coincidentally enough, the year before he had 2.3 points per game, so don't expect a lot from him if he does make the team. But, Lenny, did you have fun? Was this a good time for you?
I did have fun. This was great. I didn't think that I would ever think about Bojan this deeply again. But
I'm really excited to watch Bojan on the team this year. Watching Croatia made me excited for him. I really do think there's a chance he, you know, has the next level, maybe – dribbling and creating a little more, and this team's going to give him every opportunity to succeed. I think he's my favorite player on the team right now just because he's a cool name, and I'm also Croatian, so I'll root hard for Bojan as the season starts. Lindy, thank you so much for coming on. I'll be sure to have you on if we play the Wizards this year, so we can preview the game and talk about our thoughts afterwards. You got any closing thoughts?
No, thanks for having me on. You know, good luck to all of you Nets fans, Pacers fans out there, the other bad team. I'm kidding. No, good luck to you guys. I know that, you know, it was rough having Paul George leave, and, you know, I hope that it's all kind of uphill after this year.
It's over. We try not to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Lindy. I'm sure I'll have you on again. And Pacers fans, be sure to use SeatGeek and use the code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This is Tony. Next time it'll be Adam previewing a player that I don't know yet because we've been terrible at scheduling this. Thanks for listening. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.